Welcome back to the BitCast. I have a subject for everyone today. How many of you have ever heard of a me? That's M-I-I. Well, for the uninitiated, Miis are these little caricatures of people, and you create them on your Nintendo consoles so they can represent you and other people in different games. They were introduced with the Nintendo Wii and have more or less become mascots for Nintendo alongside certain characters. Nintendo has kept the Miis around ever since, featuring them in Nintendo 3DS games, Nintendo Wii U, and even the Nintendo Switch. And with each new generation, there have been more customization features available. More shapes for their heads, more hair colors, more glasses designs. People like to make Miis based off different characters, based off all the friends they know, all that kind of stuff. It's just a nice way to kill time in between games. Shigeru Miyamoto, one of the most influential faces in gaming, the one who created Mario, Legend of Zelda, Star Fox, Pikmin. Originally, he had the idea for Miis way back in the days of the Famicom, which is the Japanese equivalent of the Super Nintendo. He kept trying to pitch the idea, but executives would turn it down, saying he can't make a game out of this idea. But Miyamoto was not done yet. He kept trying. With a Nintendo 64 and a GameCube, he kept trying to reintroduce the idea, and he got turned down both times. Eventually, there was a certain project being made by the Nintendo DS, one that involved placing pieces of a face onto a blank model and adjusting these pieces. The president of Nintendo of Japan at the time, the late Satoru Iwata, caught wind of this and went back to Miyamoto, telling him about this idea. He asked if Miyamoto was still interested in the customization caricature idea, and he was. So, Miyamoto took a look, and the people working on this project were moved to another Nintendo office where they could officially make Miis. I have to say, the Miis are just these cute little guys. It's really fun to just watch them in all the different games. Ever since, Miis have appeared as filler roles whenever Nintendo saw fit. Games like the Wii Sports, Wii Sports Resort, Wii Party, these all made extensive use of the Miis, having them serve as the player characters themselves. Evidently, Nintendo finally realized that they could make a game about customized characters. One such game was the 2014 Tomodachi Life for Nintendo 3DS. The premise of this game was that all the Miis would live together on an island hotel, and you had to take care of them. Feed them, introduce new friends to each other, watch their lives unfold. It's a quirky game, and it takes a certain type to appreciate it. It's really hands-off. But that game ended up serving as a spiritual predecessor to the 2017 release of Miitopia. It's that connection that explains why I touched on Miitopia's predecessor, Tomodachi Life. Because it has the same hook of watching your Miis run around and interacting with each other. It has a similar feeding system. It also has a bit of a hands-off approach to everything. But Miitopia is a bit of a different animal. It's not a life simulator, it's an RPG. A party of Miis will travel together, fight off these monsters in order to reach the evil Dark Lord and save the land from his tyranny. Like I said, it's really hands-off. It's more about watching the Miis, and you do play a bit more of a role in controlling the characters, but you don't really have to control them a whole lot. It's a lot easier if you do take direct command. Even then, you only get to control one Mii in the entire game. All the others will just kind of do what they want. The computer is good at figuring out which actions the other Miis should take, so it's a bit of a challenge for the player to coordinate with the AI controls of the game. But it's usually not a problem. Some people could be turned off by this battle system, but I think that a repetitive, laid-back game like Miitopia kinda needs to have a simplified approach to combat. We don't want to weigh it down with too much strategy. This isn't Fire Emblem, which is a good game, but that's for another BitCast. Mii games have a reputation for being very simple and more novelty than anything else. And that could be said for Miitopia, but that game has surprised many players at the same time. The game is simple on the surface, but there's a little more depth than one would first assume. Mii's all have different personalities, which affects how they'll behave in battle. They also have different job classes, like the wizard, the thief, the cat. All of these affect their abilities in combat, meaning there are different combinations and permutations of Mii parties you can have based on their jobs and personalities. You can pick each time which job and personality your characters will have, so there'll be subtle differences between one playthrough and the next. For a game that can be really repetitive, it is a little surprising to see how many party combinations you can come up with. I've also made reference to the interaction between Mii's. In this game, as Mii's start to get along with each other, they'll unlock cooperative abilities in combat, making fights go even more smoothly. But, on the other side, if Mii's start getting into arguments, they can start sabotaging each other. They'll start fighting each other on the enemy, so pretty much doing damage to each other and the target. Or they'll interrupt each other's attacks. It's kind of amusing, also kind of annoying, but there are ways around it. Certain abilities and personalities lend themselves to affecting the tension in the party, and that's another thing the player is going to have to monitor. Perhaps the most surprising thing about Miitopia, though, is the soundtrack. The game has over 200 songs, and they're all pretty high quality. They sound like something out of a more serious RPG most of the time. Not this collection of Mii's running around. Each world in the game gets its own unique battle music, and it sounds like they're actually trying. Like, it's fun to listen to these songs while you're getting into fights with the monsters. The title music will also change based on which world you're in. They could have just had one title theme and just call it a day. And the player's condition in battle will also affect the music. So if a character is not feeling well, the music will get a little distorted. Or if they're all hyper after eating too much sugar from the hyper sprinkles, the music will go by even faster. So this soundtrack isn't just for show. They really try to integrate it into the game, make each moment feel unique. A level of commitment that you wouldn't really expect from a Mii game. Honestly, this just sets the bar for all future Mii games. Just for listening pleasure, the game has a jukebox feature, so you can listen to the soundtrack at any time once you unlock a song by encountering it in the game. I would hope that future Mii games would follow this example. The composers of the game were Toshiyuki Sudo, Shinji Ushiroda, Yumi Takahashi, and Megumi Inoue. Sudo's been with Nintendo ever since 2004, and has been on the staff behind Daigaso Band Brothers, a game with heavy emphasis on music. Similarly, Inoue has worked on that game as well, while Ushiroda has worked on Rhythm Heaven, a Nintendo game that also focuses on music. Rhythm, if you haven't guessed from the title. With pedigrees like that, it's honestly no wonder that this game's soundtrack is as good as it is. Interestingly, Ushiroda used to be employed by Konami, but then left them before working with Nintendo. Unfortunately, Takahashi seems to be a little unknown compared to the other three. But with a soundtrack like this, one could imagine that a lot more people will be familiar with Yumi Takahashi before too long. Today's favorite songs are Boss Battle 3, the Karkatan Battle Theme, and Dark Lord's Wrath. So, all fighting music. I'll be honest, in video games I tend to prefer fighting music, but I do know a few good mellow songs that I appreciate, so it won't always be like this. Boss Battle 3 plays at the end of each world in the game. It's really intense and a perfect example of how the soundtrack takes itself so seriously. You're watching these cute little Mii's go up against a big bad monster, and it doesn't let you forget that you're dealing with a powerful force. The Karkatan battle theme is in a similar vein. It's the music for the fourth world in the game when you're getting into fights with regular monsters. It tones down the intensity and replaces it with a sense of urgency, as if warning the player not to get careless, even if they're only fighting the smaller monsters. And then the Dark Lord's Wrath. It's an exciting theme for when the Miis finally confront the Dark Lord after all he's done to torture the land of Miitopia. For the plot, it's really simple and cookie cutter. The Dark Lord, who is decided by you, you get to cast all the main characters in the game. The Dark Lord runs around and steals the facial features off of different Miis and puts them on monsters. Your hero Mii has to go out and defeat the monsters to restore the other Miis to their glory, and they make friends along the way, before they finally get together and face the Dark Lord. Miitopia and Tomodachi Life are both games that mean a lot to me. I've been able to find hour upon hour of enjoyment from both these games, more than a lot of people, I'd wager. There's certain Miis I've recreated every time. There's certain Miis I've put in just to see what would happen. And just finally seeing these Miis shine in their own proper adventure just makes me smile, because some of these Mii characters are ones I've had ever since I first got a Wii all that time ago in 2007. It's just like a certain part of my childhood has finally come into fruition, almost. This is especially the case in Miitopia, when they're actually going on an adventure and saving the world, as opposed to Tomodachi Life, where they're just chilling in an island hotel together. It's all a matter of which Miis you cast in certain roles, but I always get a very personal sense of fulfillment whenever I play one of these games. In a way, it's like a time capsule, because sometimes the Miis are just based on whatever I happen to be interested in at the time. So when I come back a few months later, I'll think, oh, I don't like this character anymore, or I don't feel as strongly about this show, or oh wow, I can't believe I never put in this character. It's just really interesting to see what kinds of Miis I would put in at different times, and that's why I think more creative people would have a blast with Miitopia and Tomodachi Life. If you haven't played Miitopia, I would recommend it, obviously. The demo for the game is very thorough. It consists of just the first half of the first world of the game. It's no invented scenario or anything. It is a part of the whole game. It's free on the Nintendo 3DS eShop, and if you do have saved data from the demo when you buy the full game, it'll let you pick right up where you left off, so you can just get right into the main game from there. It's a very good model for doing demos, and I hope Nintendo does something like this for their future games. But yeah, Miitopia is a great game. Coincidentally, it came out on the same day as the Emoji Movie. Well, I guess something good had to come out of that day. Well, like I said, Miitopia. Pick it up. Love it. Or don't. I'm not the boss of you. See ya.